Bible, go ahead and get it open to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, very familiar passage of Scripture. To many of you and to most Christianity, this is very, very familiar. I think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you almost have to say 5 and 6 when you say Psalm 3. As we've been traveling, I've seen Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in more restrooms, I think, than any other verse. I've never understood that, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And as I begin to look at this verse, very familiar, very famous passage of Scripture to all of you, I'd say, and most of Christianity, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is right up there probably with John 3, 16 in famous passages and used, and even if I might say sometimes abused passages of Scripture. But as I begin to look at this here, if you want to stand, you can. Let's all stand together and read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And 7 here, you can go ahead and read with me. We'll start together. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Amen. Brother Sean, would you mind praying for us? And then we'll jump right to the message tonight. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Looking at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I begin to look here, and it starts in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And no doubt, we need to trust more in God that I've never arrived. I won't arrive until I get that glorified body eventually in heaven, and none of us will. But the Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one, and no one will arrive until we get that glorified body. But I begin to look and see here how it says that we ought to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. He doesn't say some of your heart. He don't say a part of your heart. But God says to trust in him with all of your heart. And he says there that second phrase, to lean not into thine own understanding. We need to stop as the people of God leaning upon the understanding of what we think or how we feel. But what does thus saith the Lord? Allow God to be true in every man a liar. It's not what do I think about a subject or how do I feel about a subject or what does Dr. So-and-so say in his book about a subject. But what does thus saith the Lord about every subject. And as I begin to look here in this very used passage of Scripture that we ought to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding. But then I got to verse 6 and God captured my attention. He captured my heart. In verse 6 he said it like this, in all thy ways. How much does all mean here tonight, church? All means all. And God says in all of your ways. What is he saying there, Brother Dick? He's saying that when you go down to the grocery store, God says in all of your ways, that's down to the grocery store now. God says that when you walk into your car tonight, that when you walk into your office at your job or your work, or mama, when you're getting ready to cook that meal, or dad, when you're getting ready to grill that meal, that whatever you're finding your hand to do, whatever you're doing, God says you better make sure that you acknowledge me. He says in all of thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths in all of thy ways, he says. And you say, oh, Brother Jake, why is that so important? I'm going to show you why that's so important here in a second, because God says that, that we're to bring every thought into subjection to Jesus Christ. Every thought. Now I begin to think about this thing of when he says here that we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart, verse 6, though, in all of thy ways to acknowledge him, and he shall direct that path. You understand there are paths all through Scripture. The Bible says that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That there's a way to heaven, there's a way to hell, right? And there are paths all through Scripture. In Jeremiah, he says, to stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls, right? And there are ways, there are paths all through Scripture. But as we begin to see those paths, that they are a course that you set. That you put yourself in a path and you start walking a certain direction. I heard my brother say something. I don't know where he got it. But he said it like this, that godliness is not a spot on the map. There's none righteous, no, not one. Godliness is not a spot on the map. It's not even necessarily a song, but it's the direction that the song's going. It's the direction that the clothing's going. It's the direction that the church is going. And so godliness is not righteousness, because there's none righteous, no, not one. But godliness, listen, is the direction that you're going. And God says that He'll direct all of your paths if you would just simply acknowledge Him. I'm going to get to why this is such a big deal here in a second, but I need you to understand something. All of us understand what it means to be acknowledged. That if I walk up to a man today and I shake his hand, right? I shake his hand and we look at each other in the eye. We've acknowledged each other. Y'all know what it means to, the opposite of acknowledging someone would be to ignore them. That, you know, I can remember just, we were up in Walmart. I was getting some balloons for my mother's 50th birthday that she just had. And I was picking up some balloons for her, the party that we were going to have for her. And I was there in Walmart, and I saw, he used to be a teenager at a church here in Alaska that I had preached at prior. And I saw him, and I went to him. I stuck my hand out to him, and he just acted like he didn't see me. Just walked right on by me and said, "Oh, that hurts feelings, Brother Dick." Honestly, you know, it is what it is. But he walked, he ignored me. And I began thinking about this message on how many times God's extended His hand to me. Every single day of my life. Do you understand that without God, you know, the Bible says you can do nothing. That without God, it's impossible to do anything. That there's nothing that you can do without God. Preacher, I got to think about this. You know, we often think about the good things. That I can't breathe without God. That's a good thing. I can't eat without God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I can't do that without Him. We think about a lot of the good things about when we're talking about, you know, without God, you can't do nothing. We can't, you know, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can't build a church. You know, I'm not going to be the kind of father I ought to be without God. I'm not going to be the kind of preacher I ought to be without God. I can do nothing without Him. Y'all understand that tonight. But you understand, you cannot sin without God giving you that breath. You can't run, shed innocent blood without God giving you that ability, although that's not God's purpose nor plan. You can't even do that without God. That's an amazing thought. Without me, you can do nothing. And God says it like this, that, Jake, if you're going to be what you claim to be, that's been my prayer for you throughout this whole year. God, I want to be what I claim to be as a Christian. If I'm going to be what I claim to be as a Christian, God says that I'm going to have to stop ignoring Him. Say, Brother Jake, what do you mean you're a Christian, you're a preacher? Yeah, but oftentimes, it's not, we have no problem running to God when problems come, when tragedy comes, when hurt comes, when pain comes. That Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that no doubt, it's a verse that I can remember when my grandfather, Papa Sinareski, passed away and his casket was laying there. Many people, they'd say, "Oh, Brother Jake, you just got to trust in the Lord. We don't understand God's ways. They're not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You might not understand it now, but God knows best." And, you know, I've never understood why God has to take good men from this earth. You know, I just, God, if you could just leave them here, this earth would be a whole lot better. But, you know, they're much happier up there, I'm sure, in heaven than they were down here. But, you know, I begin to think here that how often I've ran to this verse, and people have pushed this verse towards me and on me in a time of trouble, in a time of pain. But then God began to say to me, "Jake, I understand that you need me for the tough times, and all of us need God, and thank God that we have a God that we can run to in a time of trouble." But it's almost like God to me, "Jake, where was I when everything was good? Where was I when the finances were good? Where was I when there was no prodigal son? Where was I when everything was good in the church and there was no fighting or bickering? Where was I then, Jake?" And the truth is, God was there all the time, but the problem is that we get so busy in this life and we're so blessed in this life as American Christians that we oftentimes fail to acknowledge God, but we ignore God in good times. We become like that church in the book of Revelation where we become rich and increased with goods and we feel as though we have need of nothing. But God says, "Knowest thou not that thou art miserable and poor and blind and naked? Don't you know what you really are without me?" And the truth is that we are nothing without God. We can't do right without God. We can't do wrong without God. You can do nothing without God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I'll never be the kind of father that I need to be. I'll never be the kind of husband that I need to be without God, without considering God in my every single day, in my every single thought. You know, the songwriter had it pretty close. He said, every hour I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. He was real close. But it wasn't just every hour that we need God. We need God every second of every day of our lives. We need God. So, Brother Jake, what's the big deal? I'm going to get the big deal here in a second. God says, in all of thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all of thy ways. Mama, when you're walking down the grocery store, down the canned good aisle, you better make sure you acknowledge God there. You better make sure that you acknowledge God when you're walking out of your car tonight and you go to open that door. You better acknowledge God. They say, Brother Jake, that's so silly. Yeah, I'm going to show you why it's so important. Turn over to Psalm chapter number 10 with me. If you got your Bible, turn over there. Psalm chapter number 10. Psalm chapter 10. And in verse number 3 and 4, if you got a pencil or a pen or a highlighter, I'd underline this. This would be a good one to memorize. In Psalm chapter 10 and verse number 3, the Bible says, God says, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what God says. Will not seek after God. You know what that tells me? That tells me that they know where to get to God. They know how to get to God at least. But they choose, they will not seek after God. They won't pray. They won't seek God's face. They won't spend time with God. They won't plug into the power source. They will not seek after God. Why is it such a big deal, Brother Jake? Why is it so important that I acknowledge God in all these little areas of life? Because God says that about these wicked people, why they're wicked is because God is not in all of His thoughts. And I am wicked when God is not in all of the thoughts of my heart and all of the thoughts of my mind. Listen, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And when God is not dominating my thought life, the Bible says, listen, that we are to bring every thought into subjection to Jesus Christ. Every single thought, the thoughts of our mind, the thoughts of our heart, that we're to bring every thought. That does not just mean the bad, and that is far too often the only thing we think about, but we are to bring every thought, the good, the bad, and the bad and the ugly. What does that mean, Brother Jake? That means this. God, what do you think about the way I dress? God, what do you think about the way I walk? God, what do you think about the way I drive my car? He said, Brother Jake, that's so silly. Yeah, but the wicked, they don't do that. God, what do you think about the way that I hold up my preacher's arms? God, what do you think about the way that I defend my preacher? God, what do you think about the way that I treat the house of God? God, what do you think about the way? And listen, it is vitally important that Christians stop trying to do a godly thing without God and include God in your everyday life. Listen, not just every hour, but every second of every day, a conscious awareness that God Almighty wants to spend time with you. Talk to Him. Spend time with Him. When's the last time you woke up and said, hello, Father? Good morning, Daddy. Because just as much as it frustrates you when your children are so busy, I don't know if any of you older parents remember when your children were young and had a little toy truck, them boys did, and them girls had a doll, and but they were so consumed with that thing, and you say, hey, honey, come here. And they just kind of, sometimes they get so consumed with the good. It's not like those are bad things, but they get so consumed with them things, they walk right on by you. And you say, hey, come here. Daddy just wants to love on you. Daddy just wants a little bit of your attention. Would you please just acknowledge me, God says. Would you please? I know that I've blessed you. I know I've given you a wonderful church. I've heard many preachers say this is the greatest church in all the world. I believe it. But let me tell you something. As blessed as of people as we are, we need to be very careful that we don't forget the power source. That we don't forget God. That we don't leave Him on the back burner while we got our Christianity put on. We better be careful. We better be careful that we don't leave God on that back burner. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I begin to see, first of all, and we need to begin to consider God's thoughts on all of the subjects. Consider God's thoughts on all of the subjects. In every matter of life, consider God. Consider what God thinks. Let God be true, and every man a liar. That starts with you, that starts with me, that starts with everyone, that starts with Dr. Seuss down the road, that starts with doctor. I don't care how many degrees they got. God says, let God be true, and every man a liar. Let God be true. Consider God in your thinking. Consider God in your thoughts. Why? Because the wicked, they do not do that. God is not in all of their thoughts. And secondly, agree that God's way is the only way. That's the way that we're going to go. We will walk therein. We'll walk in the way of the Lord. And thirdly, correct your godless thinking, the thinking of your mind and the thinking of your heart. You understand my hands can't do anything without my mind first telling them what to do. My feet don't do anything without my mind contemplating, deciding what they're going to do. Y'all know what premeditated murder is? Every time I've ever sinned or done something right, it wasn't on accident. That I premeditated sin, that I chose to do wrong or I chose to do right every single time. And we can call it whatever we want, an accident, whatever we want to call it, but God says you better make sure, because the wicked, the reason they wicked is because I'm absent from their thinking. I'm absent from the thought life. I'm absent from the life that you understand how important this is now. That you correct your godless thinking and God will correct your godless path. You allow God to dominate you. Allow God to dominate your thinking and your heart. You say, Brother Jake, how can I do that? David said it like this, I'll hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I think that there's a whole lot of good people in this nation, brother. Preacher, I've strove a lot of my life to be a good Christian. But oftentimes I find myself failing because that shallow... conforming to Christianity that we often find instead of that transformation and there has to come that point in our life. I can remember I was down in Ohio just this past year. I was preaching at a church in South Webster, Ohio, and I got a bow and I had my arrows and everything ready to go. I wanted to go deer hunting while I was down there, and I was preaching at a church and these teenagers were there and I was trying to get them to open up to me. I just could not. I couldn't get them to talk to me. I couldn't get them to open up. They just were, really standoffish, just wouldn't open up to me. And I was trying to get to know them before I preached, and was just trying to spend some time with them, and they just would not give me the time of day. Well, I noticed they was all wearing camo, and it was right before deer season there, and so I said, hey, y'all like to deer hunt? Man, they just lit up. Their eyes lit up. Their countenance lifted. They just became new creatures all together. And we started talking about deer hunting. And after I got done preaching, this boy named Levi, who was 18 years old, he had just graduated high school. Levi, he said, hey, Brother Jake, he said, you like to hunt? And I said, well, yeah, I like to hunt. And he said, well, he said, my grandpa's got a 400-acre farm. He said, you want to come kill a deer on that thing? And I said, let me think about that. Yes. And so I went to his farm. I went to it. Levi, he showed me where the deer stand was. Every morning he'd walk me by there. We'd get some breakfast and he'd walk me by there. And he'd put me in my stand and he'd go off to his stand. Yeah, he had just a million, it seemed like a billion stands out there in them woods. But he'd bring me to my stand, take himself to his own stand. The first day, same scenario. Second day, same scenario. Third day, the fourth morning that we went, I remember he brought me to my stand and he got me up in there. I was climbed up in my stand and I noticed it was really dark. You couldn't hardly see anything, but I looked down there and Levi was still messing around down there. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? Go away. You're going to scare a deer off. And he was just messing around down there and I didn't know what he was doing. And eventually he left. I heard a bunch of clanging down there and clutter and him banging stuff around down there. And eventually he left. He went to his deer stand. Well, the sun came up, and they always say the fish grows bigger, the longer it's been dead. But that deer, he was a monster. And the deer, he came up over the horizon. I watched him come up over the hill. And, it was just the most beautiful thing I ever saw in my whole life. And he walked down and he walked down towards me. I mean, just a perfect picture of buck hunting that you've ever thought of. I mean, he just walked down there, and he really wasn't that big. He was a wide 8-point. But, man, to me, he was a monster. And he walks out there. I lit an arrow through him, just busted him. First time, dropped him like a sack of potatoes, dropped to his back, almost died instantly. I jumped down there to throw another arrow through him to end his misery a little quicker, and because I didn't want to wait. And so we got down there, threw another arrow through him, and we got the job done. I came back to the deer stand because I knew he was supposed to wait, let him make sure they're dead. And I came back to the deer stand. When I came to the deer stand, there was two arrows laying on the ground. I only got one tonight, but there was two arrows laying on the ground, and they wasn't my arrows. All my arrows were in the deer. And I came back there, and I said, wonder who those are. And I took a picture of them. I snapped a picture of them arrows. And I got back up. My deer stand was waiting. I shot that picture over to Levi, the fellow, the teenager that was helping me hunt. And I said, hey, you missing something? And Levi said, yes. And he sent one of them, you know, sad emoji faces. And he said, yes, I'm missing something. And I said, man, I said, why don't you come back and get it? And he said, well, he said, I didn't come back and get it because I didn't want to mess you up. And I, you know, I said, well, thank you, because I got a deer. And he said, well, you know, wonderful and all that kind of stuff. As we were, you know, taking care of the deer, dressing it, taking care of it, we were talking. And I asked him, I said, what happened? You know, how did you drop your arrows? And he said, you know, he said, it wasn't really even an accident. He said, I set them down to get my water bottle out because if I was going to scare away deer, I wanted to scare them away by your stain. So I got my water bottle out, took a drink, put it back in there. That's what he was doing down there. And he said, I want to take care of all my business here instead of over by my stain so I don't scare the deer by mine. And I said, well, that was nice of you. And so he was taking care of all the stuff. But when he did, he set down his arrows and took his drink and did whatever else he was doing and put his bottle back in his backpack and walked away. Started walking towards his deer stand. He got in his deer stand, had his bow, had everything that he needed except most important part of the hunt. To leave your bullets at home, leave your arrows at home, and you can't kill nothing. I've often thought about how many times, preacher, I've, as a young preacher, and even today, that I've woken up in the morning, God, I want to be a Christian. I want to be what I claim to be. You get up in the pulpit to preach, and how many times I've, just like Levi, I've left that arrow. Because I picked up something else. I got so busy in life. I got so busy doing something else. And that water, it was important for him to drink and all that stuff. I mean, we can make every excuse in the world, but needless to say, Levi, he set the arrows down, picked up something else, and walked away. He said, well, Brother Jake, that was just an accident. Yeah, but you know what? I see far too often in my own life, I see far too often in churches and Christianity, us trying to do a godly thing without God. Now we got this conformity of Christianity and we put on this costume of Christianity and we're trying to do a good thing. There's nothing wrong with what we're trying to do oftentimes. But listen, and you say, Brother Jake, what do you mean? I mean this, that I was at a camp this past year. One preacher got up, preached for over 2.5 hours. Good content. Good message. Nothing happened. Another preacher got up, preached for 15 minutes. Preacher, I've never seen an altar call like I saw this day. And there was not an adult left in their seat. And there was not a child left in their seat. There was not a teenager left in their seat. But everyone was on the altar. There was no emotional song going on. But it was like heaven came down upon that place and met with us. I mean, it was like I've heard about in story, in books of yesteryear of God coming down and meeting with His people. I mean, it was one of the most wonderful things that I've ever experienced in my life. And I begin to say, God, what was the difference? The difference was one was ready to hunt and one wasn't. One brought the arrow with him to hunt. He was prepared to hunt. He was ready to hunt. Listen, I like the song that says like this, air, you left your room today. Did you pray? Did you sue for Christ our Savior as a shield today? Did you pray? When's the last time you spent any time with God? Because every man of God, every father and every mother in this church, I guarantee you know where the arrow begins. It begins with prayer. Some prayer, you have some power. Little prayer, little power. And if you want something from God, listen, you'll see great things done you'll get great things from God. Listen, when you learn how to pray, when you pray, when you talk to your Father, when we as the church stop ignoring our Father, every day that He extends His hand to you, I just want to spend time with you. I just want to tell you that I love you. And we like them punk teenagers or like kids even, just because we're so consumed with what we have to do, we leave the arrow behind. We don't pick it up and we go to do a godly thing. We say, God, why didn't anything happen? What happened? God says, son, you left me back there. You left me back there. You expected me to do something with you here, but you left me back there. God always feels like He has to be left out of our life. We're the children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're seated above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, above spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, Jesus Christ, God has put us in a wonderful place. He's given us every ability in the world to see great and mighty things done. He's given us, listen, an eternal, inspired, preserved Word. God has given us the Holy Ghost as a comforter, as a teacher, as a guide to guide us into all truth. What is truth? Our Word, O Lord, is truth. God has given us the best preachers in the world, best churches in the world. Yet oftentimes, I find myself trying to do a godly thing without the God of the thing. Listen, church, let's not do that. You understand how foolish it would be for a lost man to ignore God? There were, you remember that in the Old Testament, for over 120 years they built that ark. Remember that story? For over 120 years they built an ark. And there was a message of judgment that was going to come. It was going to be rain, right? That there was going to be, that the whole earth was going to be flooded. These people have never seen rain. They never seen it. But for over 120 years they walked by that ark. And they would ignore the warning that was preached. You understand that as you go to doors and you knock on the doors, ain't none of us ever seen hell. Might think that we have, but ain't none of us ever seen hell. Ain't none of us ever seen heaven. But that don't mean it ain't coming. That doesn't mean it ain't real. But how many people walk by this church every day? How many people, you go to the door and they'll just kind of ignore that warning? And we can all understand and we can appreciate how foolish that would be for a lost man to ignore God and die and go to hell. But how foolish is it for a child of God to ignore his father? I say, oh, Brother Jake, I just don't have time. Well, we have time for what we love. We have time for what we want. We make time for what we want. I want to spend time with my wife, so I make time for my wife. I want to spend time with my children, so I make time to spend time with my children. And listen, let me tell you, I know that this is like bread and potatoes right here, okay? But we have got to get back to spending time, lots of time with God, bathing our Christianity in prayer, and not just having this conformity Christianity, bunch of mess. And then when we fall to pieces, everyone says, what happened? Well, the arrow's back there. God was left way back there in our life. We need to go back and pick that arrow up so that when we go hunting, man, preacher, I don't want to preach without that arrow. I don't want to preach without God. I don't want to get up and sing a song without Him. I don't want to walk out that door without Him. I don't want to walk downstairs. I don't want to do anything without Him. And God says, really? He says, well, then make sure you just acknowledge me. If you just acknowledge me, Jake, in all of your ways, I'll direct all of your paths. Then you can be what you claim to be, son. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all stand to our feet.